Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos, Dane Young, Dave McMahon, and Jim Donnan, the former Georgia football Hall of Fame coach, former Georgia football head coach, Hall of Fame coach, all around just good human being, you know, just one of the absolute joys of this job, just to have him on the show each week. And we appreciate him making time for us because we know he doesn't need to. He could actually be enjoying a retirement, but we twist his arm and he comes on our show each week, and we really appreciate it, Coach. So thanks for being with us. Big shout out to all of our sponsors. Dave and I are here at Classic City Eats in Watkinsville. It's on Greensboro Highway, Highway 15, just past the railroad tracks. So if you're heading head towards, if you're in downtown Watkinsville and you're headed towards Greensboro, it'll be down on the right once you get past railroad tracks. There's a big pond outside. Pond would be good for you.
A pool or a pond.
A pond. And you can get outside and do a little fishing if you need to. I think there might be fish in there. But if not, you can come in here and get catfish.
We'll find out.
Catfish is the number one seller here. They have great catfish plates. They have this giant smoker in the back for the pork that I had last week. They've got the what do you call that thing?
A shuffleboard.
The shuffleboard thing.
Not the retirement shuffleboard, but the bar style.
And they're going to have a golf simulator in the back there. There's a big ladder up there installing that. So you can come out here and play golf if you want to. Get the kids' room over there with all the arcade games. And I was in front of that last week playing some video games. So point being, there's great drinks, great food, great fun out here at Classic City. So we appreciate them letting us come in as well on Tuesdays and kind of eat their food and drink their drinks and basically make a nuisance of ourselves. So we appreciate that. Talking about what's coming up for Georgia, you know, we're right at the end of May. We're getting into June 1st. All hell is going to break loose because all these guys can come visit. Jake has a great thread on the vault over there talking about all the guys that are coming to visit in June. I think, you know, we're well into just unofficially, we're in the close to 40. Officially, you can add another 20 guys on there who are coming to take official visits in June. It's going to be an absolute zoo. But we're starting to see videos leak out, not leak out, but being pushed out by UGA of their new building, the new offices, the new locker room, the stuff like that. And I think they opened it just in time for all these, you know, 2022 kids that are coming on official visits, 2023 kids that are coming to camp, 2024 kids that are just starting to make the rounds and do camps. And Coach, I think that these facilities are going to blow the doors off these kids.
Yeah, it really is an impressive the way the design was put together, the way it just very functional. And they're getting ready for camps, as you mentioned, too, because that's going to be for the first time in over a year, they're going to be able to work these kids out and, you know, weigh and measure them and find a lot about their physical tools beside the fact that I get to meet them in person. But I had a chance to go over there and check it out, and I'm just telling you right now, I'm a homer for sure about everything. I can tell you this, it ranks right up there with anything I've ever seen. Professional athletics facility, college is just really well designed, and the kids are going to enjoy it, which is the most important thing. Recruiting certainly the, you know, part of it, but just the fact that you can let your players train in an atmosphere like that and feel at home, you know, the way their dressing rooms, everything about it. And just state-of-the-art electronics, too. They got some video boards in there that are just unreal. I mean, if you can imagine the Jerry Dome when you're watching a game and they got a big video board on one side and then the other right, hanging right down the middle. They got one of those in the weight room. It's, of course, not as big as Jerry Dome, for sure, but it's definitely in percentage-wise compared to that facility.
Wow.
And this, the weights in there, and kids are already using them. And we got about 35 guys, I think, that are here right now for this Maymester situation where they have in between the regular end of spring classes and then fall – the summer classes, which I think start like June 11th, but really just the locker room, as Dane mentioned, the training room, mini hospital. I mean, you got everything in there for immediate to if somebody sustains an injury with x-rays and all that around. And then they've got these different little exam areas for every kind of exam you need to take. And then the thing that just blew my mind were the rehab type things, like the cryotherapy. You know, most people have a cryotherapy machine that you can step in, like LeBron and all those people do after they play, and it's for one person. Ours is one you can do a full body experience. Four people can get in there at one time. They got music in there. You can sit in and you got to, you can talk back and forth to the person that's monitoring. It's just state of the art. And then of course the coaches' offices are great. And Kirby's is, if it's not the top that I've ever seen, it's got to be in the top two, just a visual of the practice field. And then everything in there just makes me think I want to commit if I'm walking in there as a recruit, you know, because, hey, how could you not turn this guy down? But really, it's very functional too. And then the offices themselves have just unreal mechanical situations there for graduate assistants and also, you know, these analysts to look at stuff and just, you got so much video available. It's just unreal. And then, they're still working on the other phase where they're going to have some meeting rooms, a big giant meeting room and theater room and a cafeteria, but that'll be finished in January. But for right now, the training room, the dressing room, and the one thing I will mention about the dressing room, and then I'll stop here because I'm sure they're going to put out a video here pretty soon. I've seen some of these pools where kids go in and they, you know, have a hot tub and a cold pool that are in the training room. And We certainly got that in our training room, this new one. And they're used more for, you know, that you can go in there can actually have a walking treadmill in there and things like that for rehab. But after practice or before practice, you can walk into a cold tub or a hot tub that comes up to about your waist and lean over the side and watch these video screens, about seven or eight big TVs across there, and relax or do whatever you want to. But right there in the locker room, which just blew my mind. Of anything,
there's pools in the locker room.
The two things that blew my mind was the big video board in the weight room. And then, you know, which you could have a lot of things going in there, you know, at one time, but usually you just want to focus on the weights. And then just the relief part of going into that area after practice or before, if you want to take a cold tub before, and just relaxing with your teammates. There were guys in there yesterday just relaxing, talking to each other. I mean, it was like they were out in somebody's backyard pool or something. I mean, it's just incredible. The way it was set up. And, you know, I can't do it justice, really. I'm usually pretty good at articulating things, but anything I say, just lowball it to the point that it's not even in the area code how good this place is. I mean, it is. If you know, I talk and some of these guys came about make my mouth water. I'm telling you, that made my mouth water about as good as any recruit I've ever seen. And I'm so happy for Kirby and the players and the coaches. And it's just very functional, but it's also just, I don't know what else. It's just spectacular. It's the Taj Mahal.
Coach, you're talking about all these like recruits that if you were them, you would want to commit right away. But it sounds like the way you're, how excited you are, that you might want to coach right away, go back to coaching and be part of it.
I'm not quite to that point yet, but okay. Talking about committing, I was talking about, you know, we tell our fans here about the weekend where a kid will do all those things. And then the last thing they do is go in a coach office with the position coach and the coordinator and then finish it up going into talk to Kirby about how he stands and everything like that. I'm just telling you, for a place to get you thinking about where you want to go to school and finishing up with the boss that's going to be your boss for the next 4 years, that atmosphere in his office, I mean, if anybody's on the cuff about which side they're going to go, I would think that's going to take it over the hump there. I mean, just you think of some CEO's swanky office, it can't even hold a candle to the Kirby's.
All right. I've got an interesting question here for the panel. More impressive, what Kirby Smart has done in terms of on-field performance, number two, recruiting, or number three, facility upgrades? I got to go with facility upgrades. I think and how far it's come in 10 years. I mean, if you remember back to that, I mean, where they were dressing at Sanford Stadium beforehand. See, exactly. When you think back to that locker room and think about where they are now, I mean, it's a night and day difference. They've not only caught up to the rest of the country, they're setting the bar when it comes to facilities right now.
I think I'd probably go with recruiting only because that's the competition with the Alabamas and the Clemsons that are kind of established. And like, that's who you're going against. When you're talking about, you know, money to raise for these projects, you're just talking about engaging with alumni that have money and already are invested in your program. So I see your point and I agree with it. And obviously the facilities have gotten better, but I do think that that probably doesn't happen, at least the way that it has, unless the recruiting happened the way that it did. It was kind of a chicken or the egg situation.
Yeah, but, I think it's both also.
These people made this commitment when we hadn't recruited. We got that new facility, the first one, going there, before the first year, the indoor facility. So we were ready to go in at it after his first year, which was okay. But then, you know, they were able to practice and everything for that national championship run. And then they added the dressing rooms down at the stadium and now this. And I've said this before. I told Kirby when he was playing here, we were going to have a new indoor facility. We were going to have a new area for our players to dress at Sanford Stadium. But I didn't really mean it was going to happen 25 years later.
When he was coaching, not when he was playing.
What Jake's saying is it's really spectacular that all these other people had a chance to do it. Myself, Coach Rick, Coach Goff, Coach Dooley. But Kirby's the one who got it over the hump on the facilities, no question. And he had great help with our administration and Dr. Moorhead and all. They got behind it. They knew if we're going to make this move, you got to, and Kirby told him that when he interviewed here, we got to get these facilities rocking and rolling.
I would say, to answer your question, though, I would actually go back to the recruiting because the facilities are amazing. The things I've done. You can get a lot of that. You put that, lay some of that at Kirby's feet, but there's also, as Coach pointed out, a lot of that was in production or in planning before he even got here. So it was a mentality shift away from good enough to we have to join this arms race when it comes to revamping a 40-year-old locker room. We have to, this multi-use indoor facility, multi-purpose use building is not an indoor facility. It's just, a covered up AstroTurf 60-yard field. We have to catch up to what everyone else is doing. We're getting our doors blown off. When you have Jeremy Pruitt come out going, look, I used to recruit against you pointing out your facilities. I'm here now. This is not going to get a cut, And again, some of that stuff is already being done. And Kirby has played for a national title. He went into overtime of a national title. When you talk about what has he done on the field, three SEC division titles, an SEC outright title, playoff win, championship game appearance, almost winning that. That's tough. But again, I think if you look at the recruiting, back-to-back-to-back number one recruiting classes, top five recruiting class, we have Patrick Garbin going back and re-ranking some of the old classes, the 2011 class, 2012 class, the 2013 class, I think was the end for Coach Rick's tenure because of just how that one flailed out. And he went back into the 2012 class, which was pretty loaded. But again, there was 19 players when you had room for like 20 something, three offensive linemen, two of which I didn't really do a whole lot. Just the recruiting, we're talking about all hell breaking loose January 1st. The change in the environment, in the atmosphere, in direction at UGA, yes, they've upgraded the facilities. Yes, they expect to win the SEC East every year and, be playing for the SEC title every year. Those expectations have changed. But I think the biggest expectation is, we used to go to the Corky Kell Classic, the 7-on-7, and talk to the kids that Georgia was recruiting in state, and we'd have 13, 14 stories. Now we don't go to Corky Kell as much as we used to because there's only like two or three kids there that Georgia's really in on. We have to fly you to Vegas. We have to fly you to Los Angeles. We have to fly you to Texas. I drove up to Greensboro to have some good barbecue and talk to Travis Shaw, the five-star defensive lineman. But there's a lot of schools between Georgia and Travis Shaw. There's a lot of schools between George and Tyler Booker down in Florida. There's a lot of schools between Bear Alexander and Georgia out in Texas that they could stop at on their way here. But that list you put up of guys that are coming in, all those five stars, we're used to that now. We're used to, I mean, Georgia had only signed 2 5 stars in a year. Kirby signed 8 one year. That is just night and day differential.
Well, and
that is the go ahead.
No, you make an interesting point because you're talking about all the schools in between these places. If you go look at that list, if you look at the guys that are coming in on June 1st, I mean, it's a swath, man. It is not just the local kids. It's a big wide net. You got kids coming in from Louisiana, Florida. I mean, guys who could stop at their traditional powerhouses as soon as they get a chance to visit. And where are they starting things off? They're coming to Georgia first.
One more note on the facilities, though, before we like dive deep into that list, because I know it's an expansive one at this point. The headquarters arms race is like the newest one in college football, right? So I think it kind of the plans are in the works for a long time, but you know, the one that got the headlines was Clemson. Oh, look, they have a slide in their facility. That's kind of cool. And then South Carolina puts out a video with this thing that Muschamp and his group got together there, which I guess that's kind of funny that he didn't get to see the fruits of that labor, but then he walks into Georgia and then here's this. So, you know, I guess he's got a nice office too. But then you see LSU has the locker room where their players can take a nap at their locker. And there's all these different things, but that's the glitz and the glam. The thing that really helps with this particular facility and some of the guys that I've talked to that kind of help with the medical needs of the players and what we were talking about, Coach, is that Georgia can do a lot more things right here on campus than they could beforehand. They don't have to go to the hospital for every single thing. And not that they had to anyway, but they just have more options because of the medical facilities that they brought in on campus there. And that's one of the big things, I think, with these facilities is do everything you can right here because that's how you maximize your schedule and maximize everything in the day. And Georgia is very fortunate that all of its athletic facilities, really other than the stadium, in terms of football, are right there on that spot of campus. And I just think that this was a really needed thing, obviously for the glitz and glam of recruiting, but there's a lot of function involved in this that's going to help Georgia as a program.
One of the things that Jake and Dane, both of you mentioned was about what it was like in the past. Picture 2011, what it was, what 2021 is right now. I just can't picture in my head what is 2031 going to look like and what crazy things they're going to have there.
I mean, Coach, if you took 1995 Jim Donnan and walked to that same spot where that building is and then you saw it today, I mean, you couldn't even believe that it was going to become that, right?
Not to that extent. You know, we had a plan for the indoor and but we didn't there's no way you could know that. But I think the point is very vivid here about you know, people have a tendency to overlook the good coaching that's gone on the way we've dominated a lot of these teams do. So let's don't get too caught up in saying about leaving that out a little bit. But I think there's a real fine line here between facilities and success and all. But Georgia people outside of football need to come to reality here. And we got to get these facilities and these other sports up too. In the last 3 years, how many SEC championships has Georgia won in all sports, 20 sports? We won a national this year, but how many have we won in the last 3 years?
One
in 59. So that's not great. So we've got some guys, some coaches have done really good in the nationals and all that, but within the conference, we gotta step it up. And I feel good about Josh Brooks' commitment to all these coaches and facilities and all, but people got their head in the sand if they think Georgia's really on a national scale as a total athletic program. We got to get it rolling here. Don't you guys think that? I mean,
absolutely, Coach. It was pointed out to me by a guy who's really involved in Georgia's program. He says, look, you know, what of our facilities are in the top three or at the top of the conference and everything else? Yeah, you got that in football, which is great. But is your basketball, you know,
Did you track?
You know, you're losing your track coach because you don't have an indoor facility. You know, what about your tennis facility? What about your baseball stadium? What about, you know, your golf course? You know, and what you have for the golfers? What do you have about, you know, everybody else? You know, what about your softball and soccer? And do you have the top facilities, the top coaches as compared to the rest of the conference? That's where you want to be. And that's where Georgia folks should demand it. You know, it's like they definitely raised the money for it, but you're just not there. So this was a huge step. And I know a lot of people, I was having this argument on the board the other day. People are like, well, Josh Brooks is just the same thing that everybody, you know, we've had in the past. He can't get things done. I'm like, he just came out of the COVID year. Let's give him 15 minutes to catch his breath, you know, finish up the test and get the students back in, you know, the student athletes back in on campus and back into a normal schedule. And then let's start building stuff. We're just finished. We're not even done with the big football facility yet. You know, you just did the West End Zone renovation. You know, I'm sure that they're, when he meets with each person now, they're going to sit down and say, hey, coach, here's what I need for men's tennis. Here's what I need for women's golf. Here's what I need for cross country. Here's what I need for everything else. And at that point, he can start saying, again, and a lot of this comes from the top, even above him, board of directors, presidents. Okay, let's build X.
But, here's a point, too, that I would say about
a long way to go.
What I would say about Josh is making things happen here during COVID, you know, without the resources, the money coming in from, you know, athletic events. They did a really good job of managing that. And I feel good about what we're going to be able to do moving forward, you know, because we got a loan from the SEC looking forward to the money they're getting ready to get from ESPN. Every school got like 23 extra $1 million this year to help them with their budget and all. But the one thing that I want to mention about, even though we were in COVID, our fans, our supporters almost have this building, which is $80 million totally funded, almost already paid for. So that's unreal to me that you know, we've got the indoor paid for, we got the place down at the stadium, and now we got this. So that's pretty impressive. Good job by Josh and the fundraisers.
Well, let's be honest about one thing, though, is that the buildings don't necessarily bring championships, right? It's more of a commitment to show, hey, coaches, hey, players, this is how much we care about giving you an atmosphere to succeed. One of the things I saw yesterday was Bruce Pearl at Auburn talking about Walker Kessler, and he was saying, you know, Walker knows that this is home for him. And I'm thinking, that's a Kessler that is saying that Auburn is home. So beyond facilities or anything, there are certain programs at Georgia that, I mean, that's an issue if you've got legacy players not thinking that Athens is home and not feeling that connection to a place like this. And that's, you know, an indictment of men's basketball there, but that happens in other programs as well.
And when you look at, you talk about men's basketball and baseball and stuff like that, if you have a new Coliseum, is that going to win you a championship? No, but it doesn't hurt on the recruiting trail. And again, you say it's also fan experience. And I go back to what Coach said. You paid for the indoor facility. You paid for the West End Zone expansion or renovation. You paid for this new building almost entirely, if not entirely, with donations. This isn't money coming out of the budget. So if you tell the Georgia fans, this is what we need. Now, yes, it is harder to raise money for a new tennis complex or a baseball stadium or put a track out of South Milledge. You're not going to get as many people who will give to that as will give to renovating the end zone. But a lot of them will. You know, there's a lot that'll do that. And if you can say, hey, we'll match you dollar for dollar, we'll match you a dollar for every $2 or something like that, the money will be there. And again, I think it's going to come. To me, people were they're a little too quick on coming up with whether or not the new administration is going to support this.
Give Josh some time.
Just because it hasn't happened, they're like, well, he's not going to do it. I'm like, damn, give him 5 minutes to catch his breath and, you know, plant his feet. He took over in the middle of the pandemic. They were paying people, you know, they worked tons of layoffs. There's tons of stuff to do. And again, now if we're talking about this 2-3 years from now, like Coach said, you know, when I was coaching Kirby Smart, I told him we'd have an indoor facility and he had to become a coach before he got one. Yeah. Okay. Then that's an absolute bust, but let's give it 5 minutes.
I do. He's been there 5 months. He's only been an AD 5 months.
That's what I'm saying. If you want something with a proven track record, though, there's no questions. Swing out to our friends at Athens Ford. They will take great care of you. It's one of the greatest customer service experiences you can have if you're looking to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle. I've had numerous people tell me that. I'm not just saying that because it's a tagline. You know, they don't even say that on their website anywhere. That's just for people who have said that have reached out to me and said, hey, I went out there. I bought a new F-150. I went out and got a new Ford Focus. I took that deal on the certified pre-owned vehicle like you were talking about. I had a ton of people reach out to me, and they all said I had a fantastic sales experience. also had a couple of people reach out and say, hey, you're right about that service area. That is the cleanest, best snacks, best drinks, fastest Wi-Fi I've ever had when getting my oil changed. So when you get a chance, swing by our friends at Athens Ford. They have the Broncos out there. They have a ton of new specials. And it's a great service. I know a lot of people are, you know, they're with the whole COVID thing. They put off buying a vehicle. And if you're trying to get more mileage out of your current vehicle before you get a new one or a pre-owned one, check out that service area. This is not folks that are going to bring in your car and say, oh, we found eight other things to charge you for. They're going to say, look, here's what you need done. Here's what you might want to look at in the future. You know, where do you want to go? And they walk you through it. It is a fantastic service area. They're not trying to, you know, repave the showroom by, you know, when you bring in your IROC Z to get it fixed. You know, they're not trying to make a ton of money off of you. They're basically, it is literally service. They want to service you and make you happy so that you'll come back later and buy a new vehicle for them.
So you're saying their facilities are top notch also.
They're fantastic. I'm going to get that chance. And today is Tuesday, so I want everyone to remember that it is double points day on the YourPie app. So if you're, it's right now, it's lunchtime, but if you're thinking about dinner, you're thinking about picking up anything from there, do it on the app. Pull it out, go to YourPie app, do all your, order all your stuff. They have deals on gift cards. They have, so like say you have a new graduate or in your neighborhood, the kid down the street's graduating, you want to get them something, get them a gift card. If you spend $25, you're going to add $5 to it. And again, double points Tuesday. So while you're ordering a pizza, ordering a salad, ordering a custom pasta, ordering the key lime gelato, whatever you order, you can do it on the app and get extra points. So now's a good time to do it. I'm a big fan of the sandwiches out there. I mean, I always talk about Southern Heat is my favorite pizza, but that Nono's Italian sandwich, try that. It's really enjoyable.
The Ishka is what I like.
Ishka is very good.
Ishka is very good.
All right, Jake, we were talking about I mentioned the list that you put together at UGASports.com of all the guys that are coming in. We also have, we had a list before of guys who are taking official visits. We know recruiting's hot and heavy. Oh, by the way, I want to welcome Blaine Gilmer to the staff. We'll have him on and down the road, some of our venues, some of our shows. So be sure to start following Blaine Gilmer as a recruiting analyst. He's had some good stories come up. But Jake, you, Blaine, Trent, Patrick, you guys are going to have your hands full that first week with all the guys that are coming in to visit. Kind of give us some names that are popping up that the casual recruiting fans should be on the watch out for.
Well, I think what's important for people to remember about this first week is that you're going to have that big official visit weekend, the 4th through the 6th, and that's going to be kind of the one that everybody's got circled. But prior to that, June 1st, Georgia's holding their first in-person camp since COVID got started. I mean, we're talking, you know, at this point, almost 2 years roughly since they've been able to host something on campus. So it's going to be a really interesting mix of guys across kind of all classes. You've got 2022 guys who are coming in looking to get an offer, you know, guys that they've got interest in, but they need to see in person. They want those in-person evaluations and the opportunity to do that now, you know, where they didn't have that last year. I mean, I think we all remember Kirby Smart saying, you know, I just met some of these guys for the first time when they showed up on campus. So, you know, there are 2022 guys that could fit the mold, could add some offers from Georgia that are going to be in town. One guy, Drew Bobo, definitely watch out for him. Mike Bobo's son, big kid, big offensive lineman. We saw him out at Rivals camp. I thought he had a very solid day out there. But he's a guy they want to see in person. Cason Henry, another offensive lineman in the 2022 class out of the Walton area, he's coming in. They want to see him in person and have a chance. Are the guy's measurables real? Are they accurate? How do his feet look in person? You can watch the tape, but everybody knows, look, it's highlight tape. Right. I mean, you're putting your best place forward. So you need to see how's this guy's demeanor. How's this all playing out in person? So you're looking at a couple of those older guys, like I mentioned. So that's important to notice. But when it comes to the younger guys, I think you've got some just huge names. Like I said, coming in from unexpected places. One guy that jumps off the board to me is Richard Young. You're talking about a 4-star running back, a top 50 player in America, one of the best running backs, I think the number one running back in 2023 currently, down there at Lehigh, Florida. coming all the way up to Georgia right out of the gate. He wants to be there. You're talking about him coming up with guys like Peyton Kirkland, a 2023 offensive lineman out of Florida. You got Vyson Lang and Carmelo English coming over from Alabama, right? I mean, this is, like I said, it's a big wide swath of guys from kind of all over the area. We haven't even nailed some of their dates down. I mean, Arch Manning is going to visit Georgia at some point over the course of the summer. He just hasn't locked the date down yet. He'll be in Clemson that first week. We know that. But what I'm saying is it's constant. We've got June 1st visits, June 2nd visits, June 3rd visits, June 5th, June 8th, June 10th, June 12th, June 14th, June 15th, June 17th. And that's just the unofficials.
During
the unofficial visits. That's to say nothing of the guys who are coming in each weekend for their official visits. So it's these guys are about to be not that they weren't busy last season, but they're about to be as busy, I think, as they have ever been when it comes to the recruiting trail. It's going to be – I mean, I think Coach Penn pointed out the term perfectly. It's AHBL, man. All hell's breaking loose. And it's
all hell breaks loose.
And June is going to be – it's going to be so impactful too, because you've got to fit as much into that window as you possibly can. They're not expanding official visits. They're not letting kids, have these extra dates in July just because of this. June's it. So you've got to cram everything into that 1 month. I know that they're looking.
Why nothing in July? I hate to interrupt you, but why if you say June and then nothing in July?
They want the coaches to have a little time off, man. Come on.
They've been off since January 1st. They've done nothing till May. They had 6 months off. What else they need to do?
They've been doing with these kids, spring practice, training, and all. They always take the wrong time. But I will say this on the preparation side. Yesterday, watching the managers, they're already setting up different areas where they make sure they got everybody set for the different – skill sets. They got to laying out everything, because it's got to be very organized, because you're only going to have them here for a day and you want to go through all that stuff. So they're getting all that laid out, for the drills, for the 7-on-7, where they're going to do that. The one practice field is not going to be ready until, later in the spring, in the summer, because they still got some mechanical things down there that they're working with the, building that's really the setup area where they set up everything to build that building. So they're going to have that ready. So we'll have two practice fields and a indoor. But the other thing that was really cool yesterday, which I wish I had access to, but I would never film that on my phone, but watching those coaches walk up and down the hall with their phones with different kids on FaceTime talking to them and then giving it to another coach. And I'm sure that's around the country happening all the time, but it's really nice to actually see some of these guys that Jake tells me about, actually see their face and Coach Lanning say, hey, this is Coach Donnan. He used to be the coach here. He's over here all the time. And then I get to throw in a little word to that kid. I wish I could, but I didn't get to. But the point is, I guess that would have been illegal, so I didn't say anything. But here's the point. These guys – to me, you can talk about, hey, it's a hard thing to do, but you can just tell the interaction that they're having with these kids. I mean, it really is. It's fun to see it from my standpoint, but it's very genuine back and forth. I mean, these kids are fired up about coming here, and the coaches are glad they're coming. But instead of saying, hey, well, we're going to zoom everything and see the picture. Hey, man. Only about 5 days, you're going to be here in camp. I can't wait to see you. You're going to be up here. We're going to be getting after it. And make sure you're in shape and your mom and dad coming with you. It's just stuff like that. I mean, everybody's fired up about it. So I felt I'd just kind of interject that because I like to see that stuff.
No. Small touch that I noticed in one of the videos that was put out on the coaches' offices, they had the coaches' family picture like in the hallway. And the little stuff like that, obviously that's going to play well for mom and dad and whoever, you know, is bringing the recruit around with their family and friends. But I think that plays well for the recruits too, to like kind of get to know what's most important to these coaches. Because, you know, in a year of digital interaction, you just don't get to kind of see that context of who these coaches are and where they come from. So the little things like that make a big difference.
It's like yesterday, Coach Schumann's wife gave birth to a new dog, a little girl. And they're talking about that with the kid, you know, hey, Coach Schumann's not here. And then they said, hey, this one kid said, hey, what'd he have? You know, what'd she have? I mean, it's just, it's cool.
That's awesome.
Those pictures are good. We had the pictures on the wall there. Kirby had them up there before, but these are a little bit more up to date. They switched them over, but it's just a very functional building, and I'm not going to say anything else about it, except I forgot about that, about the FaceTime, which I thought our fans would like to hear about that going on.
No, yeah. Well, you mentioned that, Coach, and we actually had a story on Sunday with Jordan Matthews, one of the fast-rising defensive backs out of the Louisiana area, going to be in town June 1st. And he said, you know, he said Coach Jancic, John Jancic, was the one who reached out, extended his offer. He said, man, he's already teasing me with these shots of this new facility. He said, I can't wait to get up there and see it, because what I saw virtually, unbelievable, you know, super nice. And so they're whetting the appetite for these guys to get in there. And like you said, Dane, they're trying to play to those families. I talked to Peter Woods yesterday, top five player in the 2023 class, pass rusher out of Thompson, Alabama. He's coming up. He said, hey, look, it's me. I'm bringing my mom and dad. I'm bringing a couple of teammates with me. So they're focused on getting everybody through the door. They want to play to that wide crowd. And I think that they've done a great job of kind of setting the stage and getting everybody ready for this, what's going to be an absolute flurry of activity.
Is that Jake Gainis coaching him over there?
That is Jake Gainis coaching him. Yeah, he's got quite a squad over there at Thompson. They're not bad.
He's got like three others, doesn't he?
Yeah, Jeremiah Alexander, Tony Mitchell's over there. Mm-hmm. He's a top defensive back. I know there's another kid I'm forgetting. I think they got a wideout as well. I mean, it's – yeah, it's
a pretty good group.
They're the maybe the Grayson of you could say of in some regards. Although I'm sure Georgia fans don't want to hear that, because
don't make that comparison. Yeah. Jesus, we're not getting anybody. Grayson. We're not getting anybody.
Now we did have an interesting question here, and I want to put this one on Coach because it's been some time since I've had a chance to see this because they've blocked us out of these summer camps. Fun Row Season over on the board says, with camp season upon us, what is a camp at UGA normally like? Coach, what can guys expect to do and see when they're out there camping in front of Kirby Smart and staff?
Well, the old traditional camp that you used to have, where the kids would come in for 3 days and spend two nights and, you know, go swimming and do everything socially and all that, that's out the door. This is just a complete trial, basically. There's nothing involved with anything except height, weight, measurement, wingspan, hand size, everything like a pro. It's almost like the pro combine, really. I mean, the kid's going to come in here and get specific skill tested on his what he does, but they're going to weigh, measure him, and vertical jump him, do the shuttle, run the 40, run the 20, get a 20 time, then do workout skills in the position that they play in. And if they're a passer, throw the ball. And if they're, you know, receiver, running back, do those drills. But probably be, you know, 3 hours max here. I mean, except for after it's over, they'll probably go visit with Kirby in his office, or they'll take him on a campus tour and stuff like that. But it's a very regimented football-wise little camp here. And you only got 10 days to have them in the 30. You can have 10 one-day camps. And from what I understand, some of our coaches are going to go out to some of these other camps. Like, I think they're having one in LaGrange and they're having one at Kennesaw, where, you know, multiple kids are coming in from a lot of places in these areas, and the coach can go observe them in that, and it won't count in your 10, I don't think. although it could, knowing the NCAA, they might make it count as a camp day. But I think 10 on your own campus, and it's really very organized and very it's down to the last second, because you got to figure, if you bring a kid in here and he's a take, you know, Kirby's going to have to be on him, and there's going to be a lot of them. And that's why he's running around everywhere and checking them. He wants to look at them, but that's about the way I see it. And that's the way they've done it in the past. And I don't think they'll change much.
I do appreciate the fact that in years past, Jake, you've seen this, where when Georgia would have a big camp, you'd see like West Georgia College there, and you'd see, you know, Presbyterian College, you'd see Middle Tennessee State or somebody like that there. They bring in a lot of other coaches from other schools because they know that when Georgia's going to put on a camp, you're going to have, you know, 300, 400 kids sometimes. They're all doing these drills, they're all getting assessed, and Georgia's not going to be able to take them all. But, you know, why, if the Georgia Southern coaches can be there and see some kids, you know, that maybe are not takes for Georgia, but they can get their eyes on them and see them through those drills. I think now all of a sudden, with what Coach is talking about, you know, if the coaches can go up to Kennesaw and watch a camp there, I don't call it payback, but it's almost like nice karma that, you know, when they've gone out of their way to help some of the smaller schools, now some of the smaller schools.
You help me, I help you.
Exactly. It's a poetic justice, I guess. I'm impressed with that, you know.
Beautifully said, I think.
It's poetry.
We don't get a lot of poetic justice in football.
It's kind of ironic. I saw Coach Muschamp up there yesterday and just waved at him. The first time I ever saw Coach Muschamp, he came to our camp. He was working at Valdosta, and he came up in the summer and was doing exactly what you're saying. And I got a chance to meet him right then. And it's kind of ironic that you bring that up. And, you know, 25, 26 years later, been a lot of water over the bridge. It definitely, I don't think we're going to do it this year, but I know in the past we had coaches from Pittsburgh, and a lot of ACC schools would come in, and, you know, it's a good chance for them to do the same thing, but they're not going to get kids from Georgia up to their campus, but they can come down here and look at it. And exactly. I think we did the same thing at some other larger schools too.
Yeah. And it's just a great opportunity for the kids because it maximizes exposure. You know, you have so many, and this was back in the 7-on-7 camp days when we could go out there and watch that. I missed that. Shout out to Kirby for shutting that one down. But I do, you know, you would have these kids come up from all these different schools, and there would be, you know, 15, 20 kids on each school. You'd have 30 teams roughly. Like you said, Roddy, about 500-600 kids out there. And you've got, obviously, Georgia can take 25 kids. Why not maximize it for everybody? Make it good. Like you said, it's good karma for everybody. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think we'll certainly see more of that. We do have another question here from
real quick. Yeah. A lot of times these camps like this, and especially the little like satellite camps that you see, that's kind of where you see the character of these coaches, because a lot of times you're not going to find a whole lot in these places. When I was doing the local TV scene, Georgia Southern came to Columbus and held a camp just to try to get some local kids around there. Wasn't necessarily the top recruit. Some of it was just seeing, is there anyone that was overlooked? And so their staff was set to be there. Tyson Summers was the head coach. Tyson Summers did not show up. He was not, for whatever reason, not able to make it that day. And so we're, you know, the reporters there, and we're like, well, who do we talk to from Georgia Southern? Because we need a soundbite for our shows. Chad Lunsford was the tight ends coach. We chat with him. He was delightful. He was a great face for their program. Lo and behold, when Georgia Southern has a little turmoil, who becomes the head coach? Chad Lunsford. Little stuff like that builds and makes a difference in these things, just like any professional career.
I'm sure everybody remembers a couple summers back too, when everything got crazy with those off-campus camps, and Jim Harbaugh was down in Lee County, you know, recruiting Aubrey Solomon.
You're searching for khaki stores. Come on, you know that.
You know, and that was, and he ended up with his shirt off at one point, and he was flying in on the helicopters. That was one of the most insane summers of my life. That was just, everything was off the rails. I'm glad that they kind of dialed all that back pretty soon thereafter.
Oh yeah, he was like Taylor Kirby Smith at a camp, and Carbo at the same camp, and all their assistants are trying to out to coach each other, you know, with the kids, and all they're trying to make an impression. It was just an absolute zoo.
Yeah. Harbaugh was like J.R. Smith that summer because he was shirtless in Prattville, Alabama, too.
Sure. No, yeah, absolutely.
No more comments about pasty Jim Harbaugh out there with that shirt.
We got this one. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we got some good questions there if you want to hit them.
Yeah. This one from the aptly named on the board, Whiskey and Weed. He says, do you think college football sees a do you think college football will see a flurry of commitments in June once the dead period finally ends and visits resume?
1,000%.
I've been consistent in that stance now for several months. I mean, I think that all these – I think that you've got so many kids who have – been inundated with FaceTimes, have been inundated with texts. Mom and dad are getting 24/7. There's nothing that they're missing other than the on-campus part. That's it. And that, I think they've done all the research. They've gotten all the sound bites. They've talked to all the coaches. Now it's all about just getting in person. Does the atmosphere fit me? Does this coaching staff fit me? Can I see myself here for 4 years? That's the important question now. I think that you'll absolutely see a ton of action in June when it comes to the commitments. And look, it won't surprise me if we're talking about plenty right after that first official visit weekend. I mean, we got somebody asking about that too. Look, Branson Robinson openly stated at Rivals Camp, he said, I could be one and done. Yeah. You know, he said, if this Georgia visit goes how I think it could, he said, why would I need to visit anywhere else? Now, if he goes beyond that, it could get interesting. I'm not saying it won't, but, you know, he was pretty forthright and said, look, you know, this is what I'm looking for. This is the only piece I'm missing. And if it goes well, I'll be a dog. You know, Athens here, Georgia here I come, I believe was actually the quote that he used. So it's going to be insane. No question about it.
Some of those players better because those spots will not be as evergreen as they once were just with all the roster management stuff.
Bingo. And that's another great point, Dane. I mean, you're talking about not only lack of availability due to the roster management stuff, but if you're these kids, look, you better go ahead and lock your spot down because there's not a lot. I mean, there's going to be, like I said, if this flurry of activity that we're expecting happens, spots are going to be at a premium in a very, very quick order. Georgia's already got 13, 14 commits for this class. What do they got room for? 10 more? You got to assume that they've got their guys circled as well. So if you're one of those guys and you get that opportunity, you can't really dilly-dally around with it. I mean, you're going to have to probably make a quick call because if not, they're going to be looking at some other guys down the line.
You also assume that coaches will be trying to keep a spot or two open for potential transfers down the line.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, the number one thing to me is how many of these kids, we look at it from the recruit standpoint, you know, when they go and they see the school that they've kind of penciled in as their number one, they're ready to commit. Are they a take? There are a lot of guys out there that have offers who are – could say, hey, I'm committing right now. And the coach is like, hey,
slow down.
Slow down. Why don't you come in and run a 40 for us? Let's get you know, you had to take some of those last year. Like Kirby said, you saw some of these guys he met in person for the first time. And he talked to everybody out there and they're like, oh yeah, he's 6'1". He's definitely 6'1". He's absolutely 6'1". He may be a touch over 6'1". You get him in camp, he's 5'11", you know, and a half. So some of that is, we'd love for you to, don't commit. We're working on a graphic for you. We'll have it for you when you come to camp. So I think there'll be some, there will be a flurry of commitments because I think a lot of guys who have offers will suddenly become takes. And maybe a school they were holding out for all of a sudden says, yeah, we're going to hold off. And they go somewhere else. So it's a two-way street when it comes to actually meeting face-to-face. Yeah, the kids get to see the facilities, get to the coaches, see where they'd be for the next 4 years. But the coaches finally get the kids to work them out. Check out that stiffness in the hips. Check out the medical issues they've heard about. Check out the hand size, the height, the weight, all that stuff that they've had to rely on other people for.
Yeah, so these are all the things that couldn't have been done last year due to the pandemic.
I don't. I'm not saying anybody's a liar, but I am saying that those huddle heights and weights. Not always the mm-hmm. most accurate measurements I've ever seen.
I'm 6 foot five, Jake.
Loose tape measures are in play there.
That's why you need to check out the UGA Sports. And we have check out the Rivals database is when a kid actually comes to the Rivals camp. You know, we put them on the legit tape, the legit weights. There's no fudging numbers there. That stuff is accurate as hell. So verified. And, you know, we have a lot of coaches going through our rankings, our pages every day saying, what's this kid's height? What's this kid's weight? That sure doesn't match up with Huddle, but he was at a Rivals camp, so we know that's true. So,
no doubt.
You want to hit up some of those other questions too we got?
Yeah, absolutely. We got Jordan Green over here coming in with a very interesting question. I'll throw this to our resident degenerate gambler, Dave McMahon, first off. But he says, Clemson opened up as a 3-point favorite against the Dogs. Should we be, and in all capital letters, hammering the Dogs as a 3-point underdog? Or am I looking at this through some red and black glasses right now?
I think everybody looks with the Georgia fans, for the most part, look at their with red and black, black glasses. Clemson people are looking at orange, purple, or whatever colors they scheme they want to do. I'm a homer. I love Georgia. I love the, what they have, but I mean, Clemson's been there. So it's I mean, they year in year out under Dabo in the last few years, they're the top. I can't say top dog, but they're the top tiger. And I would be leery as of right this second, but I want to see what some of these new guys do. I mean, we still have questions on offensive line. We have the talent, but where are they going to fit in? Where are they going to each individual play? Do we have everybody that we have in the secondary yet? Or are we going to get, is Georgia going to get more players? I mean, there's still a lot of question marks. I mean, I don't like spreads in May. I mean, let's wait till August before we find anything out. It might be a little too late to make some good bets, but we don't know exactly what Georgia is going to be and what Clemson is going to be until later on summer.
I would think that spread's going to go down some. So if he really likes Georgia, take it now.
Hammer it. Right, I'm with you. Now, I love the early spreads because
I mean this game's gonna end up being close to a pick'em game. I mean, it's got to when you look at the compare the teams and compare the talent, a little bit of edge in certain areas on each team, but you know, we didn't give up 6 touchdown passes in our last game.
Oh, that's a really good segue into this next question here, Coach, for you. This one from Obi-Wan over on the board. He said, I'd love to hear the group's, especially coaches' thoughts on comparisons of Clemson, including top-end players and returning experience. How do you think Georgia and Clemson compare in those two areas?
Well, I think both teams got good quarterbacks that have experience. O-line, probably both O-lines are going to be restructured. So we'll see, you know, returning backs, we got a little bit of edge on the depth, but they got good backs. Receivers, you know, it depends on how this one kid comes along for them, you know, coming back from injury, and we lost one. But defensive backs, I think that's going to be the real key in this game, which team can cover the other one, because even though they got some guys coming back in their secondary, they lost their best corner, and he might be playing for us. I hope he does. So who's going to be able to cover the other team, and who's going to be able to tackle in space? But, you know, you just can't get too caught up. And I always talk to our coaches about this, about what's happened in the past and who's done what and all that. But Clemson is Clemson, but Georgia is Georgia too. And we're in a lot better position to play a team like Clemson than we've ever been, 1 through 85 on our squad, you know, special teams, all that. I think we got an unbelievable kicking game that I really like. It's going to be a real force for us, returning kicks, punting, place kicking. I think we'll have an edge on every team we play. So I like our chances, but, you know, things got to break well, as Stats was talking over the summer. You know, our secondary's got to get cohesive, and our O-line, we got to decide on who's going to play, but certainly got some good guys to play there.
Georgia's best receiver is obviously out for the game, George Pickens with the ACL injury. I'm curious to see Justin Ross for Clemson with the catastrophic injury that he had. I have no idea what his status is, but if he's anywhere near what he was pre-injury, that's going to be a tough deal for Georgia. And so because of that, and frankly, I would give Clemson an edge at quarterback. I think DJ Uiagalelei has a much higher ceiling than JT Daniels.
I've been pronouncing his name.
I've been working on that. We have to get ready for
exercise in the morning.
Yeah, I do it twice a day. I would favor him over JT Daniels right now in terms of ceiling. We really don't know a ton about either. Neither has played a lot of recent college football.
And DJ, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, he's only played one true game against a ranked opponent, and that was that one game he had to make up for Trevor being out. The other two times he's played against a ranked opponent, he's 0-for-1 in those games. So he's barely played against any kind of talent, and especially seeing that Georgia, what they have, a talent in the front seven.
The same with JT, though. I mean, the only team they played was Cincinnati.
He also played at USC. He had some experience against some players.
Did a pretty good job against Notre Dame. He did about the same thing against Notre Dame that DJ did. They both got a lot of stats, but they both lost the game, didn't they?
And then you talked about quarterbacks being similar. Also, I think those defensive fronts are going to be very similar. You have Jordan Davis and Brian Breezy. There's going to be some hard-fought trenches there. Both offenses are going to have their hands full trying to contain that front group of defensive linemen. So, and again, shout-out to Obi-Wan for giving us good questions. We've got a couple others in there that we'll touch on next week. We'll hold this over.
I got to work one more in here. Just because it's from the newest legend, I think, of the dog vent, and that's Gary Tommy. The Gary, as he is now known on the court. Gary Tommy wants to know, what kind of jump do you all see N'Kobe Dean making this season? Watching him last year has me excited for a potential jump to being a first-rounder like Roquan Smith. Can you see that kind of improvement and gains for N'Kobe Dean, Coach?
I think his stats are going to be really good with our defensive front. He's going to be freed up a lot to make so many plays because everybody's going to have to double Davis and do some different things on the edge guys. So, you know, he's going to let him run free a lot better. And he's going to have a good supporting cast playing around him with Walker and Tindall and these other guys. I think the big thing with him, as it was with Roquan, he's an every down guy. He's going to be in there. On third down, too, he's going to be able to play the pass and get, you know, be very frequent in making plays in the open field, which a lot of linebackers are substituted for and don't get to play on third down. So he's going to have every bit of chance to be a first-round choice if he can make the move. I like the fact that he missed spring because of his shoulder, not because he had to have surgery, but because he didn't bang away all summer. All spring getting knocked around, you know, he's going to be fresh as a daisy, and he's a leader of the defense. So he's not quite as big as Roquan, maybe not quite as fast, but he definitely, I hate to make comparisons, but he's got a chance to go very high in the draft.
I'll speak for him. I think that answer pleases the Gary.
There's the clip for social right there.
And we do, have a bunch of other questions that I appreciate King Mario and all the others that put them in there. We'll hold those over for next week. I do want to mention, when you get a chance, swing by our friends at Academic Brewing Company. I know that a lot of places are low on wings. Academic Brewing Company is not. They have plenty of them out there. They have their there's the jumbo wings, the big ones. They have some fantastic seasonings. If you want your barbecue, I know a lot of people have not tried the barbecue sauce out there on those wings. You really need to. It's one of the best wing sauces I've ever had in my life. Of course, they have buffalo, sriracha soy is killer, lemon pepper, you know. So when you get Lou Williams up there, you can check out those lemon pepper ones. You get that blackened sauce. They're all fantastic. And, of course, they always have live music, trivia, and new beers popping up every week. So when you get a chance, swing by Academic Brewing Company. I was racetrack beside them has cheap gas. It's a 2-for-1. You get a full tank of gas, and then you go get fantastic food, and you get gassed up on the beer out there. It's a fantastic place to eat. They had the beer garden outside. I know today's a little hot, but when it drops back down under the 90s, have some fantastic beers in that beer garden. It's got the shade over part of it, and it's open air in the other parts. They had the lounge. If you just want to go out there, you don't want to actually sit at a table, but you just want to you don't want to sit at the bar. You sit on these giant, comfy leather couches in the lounge there and enjoy that. You know, a lot of people are having graduation parties, graduation dinners, and such like that. You can do that out of academia. And, of course, you can do their beer and biscuits, their brunch they have out there on Saturdays and Sundays. I took my wife and son out there. We did the biscuits and beer, and it was fantastic. So the boy didn't have beer. I had beer. But he had a biscuit, and it worked out really well. So when you get a chance, do that. And also, before we break, I want to give a big shout-out to our friends down in South Georgia, Ronnie Brown, down at DR Construction Maintenance. He's in Liberty County. He's also does work in Long County and Ryan Counties. When you get a chance and you need some work done on your house, all that spring renovation that you need done, all the stuff you need fixed, you know, the stuff that you tried to do when you were at home for COVID and you screwed up and you need it actually done correctly, reach out to Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance. He'll get you squared away and get it fixed. And you can say you did it yourself. You don't have to tell anybody. He'll keep it quiet. You just, I built that new deck. Sure.
But if they're fans of UGASports.com, they'll know the truth.
He wouldn't even do that.
I want to make one little comment here from the old coach here. You were talking about graduation, and at this time of year, all of us are getting seeing these kids graduate and getting these announcements and everything like that. And I would just like to implore everybody here. Before you know it, these kids grow up so fast. And I remember seeing some of them when they were knee high to a grasshopper and all that. But hey, enjoy the day. If you got kids, you got all kind of pressure on you. Hey, spend some time with them, talk to them. The same thing with your loved ones. I know that we can't go out to watch my granddaughter graduate, but you know, you got FaceTime, you got a chance to interact with them. Take some time and call your mom, call your dad, do something today for your family. I promise you, don't take it for granted.
Coach, I was at the National Football Foundation dinner last night, and David Pollack said the same exact thing. He said the importance of family, and the reasons why recruiting was big for Georgia back then was because of family, and the same thing happened with Kirby today, how much they stress family. And Dane mentioned how the family, the pictures are on all the offices. It's all about the family. And Coach, you're part of my family, and Roddy and Dane, and thank you all, Jake, and all stuff like that. I appreciate all of y'all.
We kind of like it. Yeah. All right, folks. Do what Coach says every time. Reach out to the family. It's Tuesday. It's supposed to be a really nice week this week for the weather-wise. Get out this coming weekend. And then be prepared to catch a ton of updates at UGASports.com next week when all these kids start coming in. And, of course, we'll talk to you next Tuesday at noon. Look forward to it. And be sure to get your questions in. And, of course, give us a review on YouTube and Facebook and Apple. What do you call it, Dane? What is the Apple?
Well, first you subscribe on YouTube. You don't give a review on YouTube.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's Apple Podcasts where you give the review. Make sure you're following on Spotify. Yada yada yada. All the links are on the Dog Vent. And
I thought you could do that.
Publish them there.
I thought you could actually give reviews.
I mean, you can do comments and stuff, but it's not like the traditional review system that you see for like podcasts and stuff. Come on, Roddy. You got to trust me a little bit with this stuff.
No, I do. I could have sworn that's. Because I've been on Facebook and seen reviews, and then go on YouTube and you see it listed underneath there.
I was trying to figure out reviews is what the people want.
See, Roddy's getting confused because I'm about to school him on that shuffleboard here at Classic City Eats.
All right, folks, we'll see you next week. Y'all take care.